Welcome to the Art and Science of Difficult Conversations. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lucy, and we love having difficult conversations.
That's right. And each week, we'll either share a tip, hear how others have gotten better at difficult conversations, or demonstrate common difficult conversations and what to do and what not to do.
Let's get into it.
Hey, all. Welcome to today's episode. Today, I wanted to talk through common errors that people make in hard conversations. And I think even I still make them. It's not that I'm perfect at them. I still make these mistakes, especially in the heat of the moment. And you'll notice as I go through this list, if you're a native English speaker, it's just kind of how we talk. It's part of our dialect in how we've learned how to talk to one another. So if you're not a native English speaker, this might be a little bit easier for you, or it might still be hard because you have different kind of language, grammatical discussions and phrases that you're bringing in. As we go through it, think about when have you said these things, and think about the reality is the reason I'm saying don't say these things is because they actually stop conversation, or they make the conversation harder than it has to be. And it's not that if you stop them immediately, the other person will immediately agree with you, or every conversation will be super easy. It's really more about the more you say these things, the more you're preventing more conversation. And so this is actually part one. I'm going to go through some specifics here. In part two, I'm actually going to go through even more things that stop communication and communication barriers. And those ones go a little bit more extreme than this list. So let me jump into today, and next time we'll go through part two. So for today, there's seven main things you should avoid saying as much as possible. First one is the words always or never. Now, using these is super subjective, saying always or never. It's hard to be accurate about that, you know, and then it's going to be received as you're accusing them of something. And then you'll get trapped into this power struggle about how often is this really happening, or is they're not doing something. So it's a lot easier and a lot more productive to say generally, or in my experience, or this is what I'm noticing. That really helps focus on your own perspective. It's not focusing on their intent. It's not focusing on what they think they are doing. It's really more about the impact of this behavior or non-behavior, or whatever they're doing. So that's the first one. The second one for you to think about is the words but or however. Super common words. You'll probably hear me even say it during this episode. This is the problem. If I say this to you, I'm not a racist, but I'm not a sexist, but. See how it sounds? You notice right away that whatever's going to come out of my mouth next are super racist or super sexist. They negate everything that came beforehand. What I always encourage people to do is use the word and instead of but. Things don't always have to be one way or the other. Taking a balanced view can show you're reasonable. And if you're doing something where you're reflecting somebody's emotions and trying to move the conversation forward, so they're getting upset at you and you say, listen, I hear you. You're frustrated. You don't think this is fair. And I think we can find a way to solve this problem. You know, it lands a little softer. It's not as jarring. And again, I won't say that the other person will immediately agree with whatever you're saying. It's just that it's just subconsciously they're not experiencing you as someone disagreeing with them. And so they don't have to keep fighting. So it's really more important. Can you use and as much as possible? What if they don't understand? Don't say this. You just don't understand, because that's condescending. That's belittling. It really goes against the whole philosophy of what that we talk about in this podcast about take the time to understand the other person and their point of view. So what you could say instead is, I feel like there's a disconnect. You know, instead, just bring up the dynamics of what you're noticing, that you're saying something, they're getting upset in a way that doesn't make sense to you. Just notice it and see how they respond, and if they can sense what's happening too. Another one that's really common is saying calm down or relax. And this is what I actually will say to my daughter. You know, she's 7 years old. She'll go on tantrums, and maybe it's okay for a parent scolding a child. I wouldn't say that's great either. You know, honestly, I'm just getting upset. I'm getting upset about what's going on. The reality is it's super dismissive. of the other person's emotions and experiences. I try not to say it. I still do, with especially with my daughter. You know, what we should be saying instead, what we could be saying is a variation of, you know, this is stressful or frustrating for you. I think it's important to recognize that feelings are never bad. They're never good. They just are. So let the other person feel their emotions. And in the same way, you should feel yours too. If you're upset, feel that way. And the other person shouldn't be saying that to you either. Another one, I know how you feel. I get it. You're saying that because you want to be empathic. This is the problem. It actually isn't empathic because you can never really truly know how someone feels. You know, even if you've been through a similar experience, their experiences and their feelings and their emotions are really personal to them. It diminishes their feelings and centers yourself instead as making you the person that's there. Instead, what you could say is that makes complete sense. You know, instead, acknowledge their world and their reality. You know, it's not saying that you agree with them. You're just validating them and their experiences. Number six, saying why. And I've talked about this before in terms of asking good questions. The reality is a lot of times it's going to seem accusatory. It's going to seem aggressive, or you're blaming them. What's better is just saying what or how, or starting your question with what or how, or tell me more. That allows you to take on a more curious and open tone. It invites the other person to share more, and it gives you more clues into their worldview and what they're seeing and what's going on for them. And the last error that people often make in hard conversations, you just talk too much in general, especially if you're nervous, especially if you feel like you have to have an answer for everything, especially if you're trying to head off some of the objections you think you're going to hear or the resistance. You feel like you need to just talk through it. Here's the reality. Just learn to sit in the silence. You don't always have to answer, and you don't always have to overtalk. Just sit in those hard moments, be silent, and allow the emotions to be there. It's distressing for a lot of people, especially if you're not used to hard emotions. And the silence sometimes can be really inviting for people. It allows people to sit with their thoughts, reflect on what's going on. Just don't talk too much in general. And I'll say this, is especially true if you are a leader and you're talking at a staff meeting, if you're talking at a town hall meeting. I know that there's a pressure to talk because we feel like we have to explain what's happening and why it's happening. Sometimes less is more. Say what needs to be said and invite the opportunity for people to also join in the conversation. So there we go. 7 things you should avoid. So avoid saying always or never, avoid but or however, avoid saying you just don't understand, avoid saying calm down or relax, avoid saying I know how you feel, avoid saying why as a question starter, and just avoid talking too much in general. Hopefully, as we are going through, you noticed at least 1 or 2 things that you noticed that you do. I noticed that I still do those things all the time. Again, I'm not perfect. I still do those things for sure. So if you are ever talking to me in real life and you hear me, feel free to call me out because I'm trying to get better, especially with that but. I know I still do that quite a bit. Next week, we're going to have a role play where Lucy and I are going to talk about how do you have a career or development conversation with your boss who's absent or avoidant. We'll talk about that, or we'll role play that, show you how you could navigate that. And then the next strategy podcast episode we have, I'm going to talk about even more things not to say, things that actually get in the way of good conversation. Please hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, give me some comments, ask me questions. I'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, I will see you next week.